Okay, stay open right there. We're going to stay there for a while today. If you're a visitor among us, I want you to know how welcome you are. We're thankful you're here. We're grateful to have you with us. And we're grateful that you have a common interest to want to learn about Jesus, to come to obey what He says in His Word. And hopefully you'll stick around a little bit and let us get to talk to you. Just a few minutes. We won't hold you back too long. Just enjoy getting to greet you. If you haven't already done so, open up to Colossians chapter 3. I want us to focus in this morning. So often we long to be with Jesus. There's a deep resonating part of us that wants to be with Jesus. Whenever a loved one who is faithful in Jesus passes away, there's a comfort that comes in knowing that they are with Jesus, to get to be with Him. It's where we long to be. If you read through 2 Peter chapter 3, it talks about even after the destruction of the earth and everything that has to do with this universe, he says, because of the promise of God, we're looking for a new heaven and a new earth, a place where righteousness dwells. Because of the earth that we live in, it's hard to imagine that. We see so much corruption. We see so much turmoil and difficulty that the idea of being where Christ is sounds so wonderful and even overwhelming. What will it be like? But this is what I want us to really consider this morning. Notice the first verse in chapter 3 of Colossians. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Paul writes here to the saints in Colossae, and he circles kind of this idea, if you have been raised up with Christ. He says, I want you to look at yourself and ask the question, have you really been raised up with Jesus? And as you look back through it, we know the promise of God, the covenant that's given to all those who will be baptized into Christ Jesus for the forgiveness of their sins, that also to receive the gift of God's Spirit, the power to dwell and overcome through Christ given within our heart. The gospel as a whole in terms of to be crucified with Christ, to be buried with Christ, and to be raised up with Christ in newness of life. Paul wants these saints, and he also wants these saints, to consider, are you really raised up with Jesus? Sometimes we look at that and go, well, of course I was. I was baptized. But there's going to be a response that happens for the rest of our lives. Are we really raised up with Jesus? And it's not to cause doubt in somebody's mind, but to gain a confidence and a conviction toward what we're doing in every day. He says, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is. Continue to seek after what got us into this relationship with Jesus. Nobody seeks after earthly things and finds Jesus. If our mindset is on what's earthly and what's fleshly, it doesn't lead us to Jesus. So we ought not be foolish to think that after coming into Jesus, that if we revert back to the old earthly ways, that we're going to grow spiritually and upwardly into where Christ is. If you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is. We say often, we want to be where Christ is. You can be. And we are in Jesus. And he says, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Now, we're not going to go look at it, but if you want a reference, you can look over at Hebrews chapter 10. And it specifically talks about that Jesus offered himself up as the high priest. He offered himself up one offering for all time so that our sins would be forgiven. And now he gets to sit down at the right hand of God because sin has been dealt with. It has been paid for and overcome. Paul says, I want to invite you, if you've been raised up with Christ, realize where you're seated with Him. You're seated with Him at the right hand of God. You're seated with Him where you are forgiven in Jesus. We'll deal with letting the past go behind tonight. But here's the picture. You're seated at the right hand of God in Christ. So seek to be where Christ is. Look at verse 2. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. He says, where are you seeking? He says, where is your mind set? And this idea for your mind being set is, what do you ponder on? What do you let your mind dwell on? We would probably use a word nowadays, like the Old Testament uses it in Hebrew, in the Old Testament Hebrew, meditate on. Where do you meditate in your mind? Meditate literally means to speak to yourself. Think about what we're doing. Think about, am I really striving to be where Christ is? Now, if you want something a little bit more easy to grasp, I want you to notice he gives us the illustrations right here in the chapter. In verse 2, he says, set your mind on the things above. Dwell on them. Ponder them in your heart. Where is Christ in this? In this relationship that I have? In the neighbors that I have? Am I really seeking to be where Christ is? He says, set your mind on the things above. Well, what does that look like? What does it look like? How can I really know whether I've set my mind on the things that are above or the things that are on the earth? How can I tell the difference in my own life? It's real easy to go, oh sure, you know, I do some spiritual things, so I must have my mind set on the things above. I must be going after where Christ is. Well, let's see. Let's let the Scripture examine us. Let's hold ourselves up to the mirror. Look down at verse 12 in this same chapter. This is what seeking the things above looks like. So is those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved. Now, how did we become holy and beloved? It's only found in Jesus. It's not found anywhere else. How did we become holy and beloved? Because we sought after the Lord to do it His way, not our own. We didn't seek after earthly things and find Jesus. He says, you're holy and beloved because of going after Him. Notice the rest of the verse. As those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you forgive. That's what striving to be. Seek the things above where Christ is. That's what it looks like. You find a people who are compassionate. Proverbs 28 puts it this way. If a man will repent and forsake his sin, he will find compassion. Are we a compassionate people? Are we a forgiving people? Those are those who seek after Christ where He is. Are we a people who are kind to still treat another right even though they have harmed us? That's seeking where Christ is. A humility to go, it's not about what I want, it's what Christ wants. That's what it means to seek Him. And even to take it a step further and to think in this mindset, what about a gentleness? In the midst of turmoil and opposition, to be gentle and to be patient with others. Because that's where Christ is. And of course, there's the bearing with one another. The bearing up underneath the difficulties that are going on, and to come to the aid of one another, and to forgive. Even if we think there's something to complain about, forget it. That's not where Christ is. You want to be where Christ is? We got to let go of all the complaints. We got to let go of the impatience. We got to go in looking at things and going, I'm going to give them what they deserve. That's not kindness. Compassion. Well, do you know what they did before? Who cares? Forgive them. Show them compassion. Give it to them. And to be patient with them, however long it takes. That's where Christ is. Are we where Christ is? Have we been raised up with Jesus? If we have, we'll seek the things that are above. We'll seek after unity of that only love can give. And we find a peace and we find the Word of God to dwell in us. What about the flip side? Look at the rest of verse 2. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. So if I'm going to seek to be where Christ is, if I'm going to seek after those things, it means there's some things I have to give up. I have to let go of. Now, look in the same chapter. Look down at verse 5. These are the earthly things. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. He says, you're going to seek to be where Christ is? You're going to seek the things above? He says, sexual immorality cannot be part of us. This idea of living together with each other before we're married, this idea of taking place in things before marriage takes place, he says, that's not seeking where Christ is. That's seeking where earthly things are. Then he continues. He says, impurity. To take something that is holy and to add in a contaminant. To take something that's good and all of a sudden it becomes impure. You know, we can even do this with our worship. We can come together looking for purity and all of a sudden someone can step up and say, add in, hey, what about this thought? What about this thing that we should do? And all of a sudden what comes in? Here's the impurity. And why does it come in? Because we're not seeking to be where Christ is. We're not seeking for what is above. Then he adds in here, passion. I've heard people say, boy, I enjoy people who are passionate about something. You know that'll kill you. Some people become so passionate about things that they lose sight of seeking where Christ is. They get so passionate about, and it can be millions of things. Some people become passionate about their hobbies. They become passionate about their causes. And to go, but where is Christ in this? And what happens with their passion? They're not raised up with Jesus. They've gone back to death. Then he adds in evil desire, greed, all these things add up to idolatry. Here's some more earthly things. Look down at verse 8. But now you also put them all aside. He lists these five things. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth. He says, you better let anger go. James says it this way, the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Anger is not going to lead us to seek where Christ is. Anger is going to lead us to self. Wrath, to take it out on someone. Malice, to completely run them down. Who cares about facts anymore? They're not here to defend themselves, so I'll just attack them. To think about, as it continues, malice, slander, it's not about truth anymore. And abusive speech. If we start going around making statements like, well, they didn't say this, but this is what they really meant. And then we just make up the rest. That's not seeking where Christ is. That's not following after Him. That's earthly. Now, I want you to consider our tongues for just a moment. It's really what these things are about. James chapter 1 says it this way. If any man thinks himself to be religious and yet doesn't bridle his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. To be deceived enough to think that we're seeking what's above, seeking to be where Christ is, and to not bridle our tongues, to just let whatever comes out, whether it be foul language, whether it be abusive language, whether it be slander or malice. James says through the Word of God, we've deceived ourselves into thinking that we've been raised up with Christ. If that's our practice, we're dead. Our religion has no value before God. Now, come back to verse 2. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. Stay there. Don't venture away from it. Verse 3. You don't have to justify the old self. Why should we change the mindset? Why? Number one, you want to live. Number two, look at verse 3. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. He says, remember, you're dead. You were crucified with Christ, and now you've been raised up in Jesus. If you're going to go after what's there, he says, it's going to cost you. I want you to see it. Your life, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. You see that word hidden? I want you to see this word in verse 3. He says, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. That word for hidden, it means to be protected. It means you're not vulnerable. You found a safe haven in Jesus. It also means to be made invisible. The picture is, somebody else can't necessarily just see us walking down the street and go, oh, you're in Jesus. He says, remember, you died and your life, and he says, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. To be protected in Jesus. Because we're going to seek to be where He is. And in seeking to be where He is, even though we may be weak and we may go through some difficulties and make some faltering steps, He says, remember, you're hidden and you're protected. To be taken into the safe house. David said it this way, you're my fortress. You're my rock. He says, and I know I'm hidden in you. So what about us? Notice how it continues, verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with Him in glory. He says, remember, it's Christ that's our life, it's not us. It's not because of our reflection how good we are. It's not because of our works that we've done. Although that's part of the fruit of it. He says, Christ is our life. Are we really going to seek to be where He is? To not go after the earthly. For our mouths to just run rampant. To go after things like sexual immorality, impurity, greed, idolatry, passion, evil desires. He says, Christ is our life. Do we realize that? Every once in a while you hear a story about someone who's hanging on by a rope. How much do they realize that rope is the difference? In Jesus, we're not hanging by a rope. We're standing on the rock. Do we realize that standing on the rock is what gives us strength? Is what gives us protection? Now, I want us to continue and take a look a little bit further down. And if you notice it, he says, when Christ, who is our life, is revealed, whenever He's unveiled, whenever He's made visible, all of a sudden those of us who have been hidden in Jesus will be made visible too. Now it'll come to light and we'll be revealed with Him in His glory because we've sought after Him all along. I want you to look down a little bit further. Look down at verse 17 in chapter 3. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. Seeking to be where Christ is has an effect on what we say and what we do. It also has an effect on our motives behind it. But here's where we really need to focus in. Our actions and our words will give us away. If we have been raised up with Christ, this is where it'll be seen. In the midst of difficulties and turmoil, will we be self-centered or will we be Christ-centered? Will we be vulnerable because we've gone after earthly things, or will we be protected because we're seeking to be the things above where Christ is? Look at the very next verse. Look at verse 18. And I want you to consider this thought. Have you been raised up with Jesus? To let Him control your words and your deeds. Your words and your actions. And that thankfulness would abound. Verse 18. Wives, be subject to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Have you been raised up, wives? You want to go after what's earthly? Then don't care a word about what he says. You want to be vulnerable in times of difficulty? Whatever he says, just let it go right over your head and don't pay any attention. And you'll stay dead. Spiritually, we've died. He says, wives, you want to seek the things that are above? You want to seek to be where Christ is? You want to give Christ a place in your marriage? Be subject to Him. Then Christ will have a place in your marriage. And He says, because it's just fitting. It just fits. What do those who have earthly thoughts have to say about that? They say, hey, you're a woman, you got freedom to do whatever you want to do. And they'll lead you straight to death. And after being raised up with Christ, we'll go right back to spiritual death. Or you can seek to be where Christ is. You can seek to give Christ a place in your marriage. And you know what He'll do with your marriage? You're hidden in Him. He'll protect you. It doesn't mean the difficulties end. But He'll protect you. Look at verse 19. Husbands, you want to give your marriage a place where Christ is? You want to let Him be the one to protect your marriage? Look at verse 19. Husbands, self-sacrificingly love. That's the word here. Love your wives and do not be embittered against them. Love them. Sacrifice for them. We're not talking about hobby things here. We're not talking about, well, we'll watch the things that she wants to watch on the TV instead of what I want to watch. Even though that would be included. Love your wives. And be careful as you sacrifice for her. Are you really sacrificing to seek the things that are above? People sacrifice in their marriages all the time, but so often they sacrifice for earthly physical things. That's not going to get us there. That's not going to seek the things above. And notice how far it goes. You sacrifice for and you don't ever tell her what you gave up for her. Love her in word and love her in deed. Well, you know, I sacrificed for you yesterday. Isn't that enough? That's embitterment. That's resentment. And that's exactly what Paul says. Love, sacrifice. But don't you be embittered. Don't you be resentful about it. And let me tell you something, a little insight about Jesus. He gave Himself up for us. His wife, the church. He's never been bitter about it. He's never said, maybe I shouldn't have done that. Maybe I loved you too much. But as husbands, if we're going to seek to give Christ a place in our marriages, if we're going to seek the things above, we've got to stop listening to the world. We've got to stop thinking along those lines of, hey, go do what you want. Who cares about her? That's death. If that's the way we think, we weren't raised up with Jesus. We're not seated with Him. We need to make a move and repent and change what we're doing. To submit to Him as wives. To love her, to sacrifice, and not be embittered. To let that be reflected in the words that we say to each other in our marriages. To let it be reflected in the deeds that we do, our actions that we take. And also to be thankful. When's the last time you were thankful for your mate? Grateful. Can you imagine that Jesus is grateful for those of us who are going to seek where He is? And He is grateful to sacrifice and be patient and compassionate for those who haven't come to seek Him yet? That's where Christ is. And if we've been raised up with Jesus, we need to keep seeking the things above where Christ is. And if we've been wronged, we need to forgive. And we need to bear up with one another through the difficulties to be a help. When the home is where Christ is, you find protection. You find a protection you can't get anywhere else. They don't sell it on the market. And you also find a safe haven. Make your marriage a place where when your mate comes home, they come home to a safe haven, not a battleground. Because that's where compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another, forgiving one another, that's where those things dwell. What about the children? Look at verse 20. Children, be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. It says, children, what's your role? In seeking the things above, in seeking where Christ is. It's got to do with how you listen to mom and dad. You remember when Jesus was baptized? His Father makes a statement, a proclamation really. He says, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Why was the Father so well pleased with His Son? Because His Son was obedient to His Father in all things. See, it has an effect on how God sees us as children. How well do you tune in as children to your parents? He says it's only right if you're seeking the things above. As time comes and maybe you're 14, 15, a teenager, when you come to be baptized into Jesus, what does Jesus desire of me now? I'm going to be obedient to my parents. To be faithful. The Lord will protect that child. The Lord will protect that child even if the parents are misguided. It's an amazing way that Jesus has to protect even those who don't have the way to protect themselves. To seek after the things above. Children, be alert to mom and dad. Hopefully the home they provide is a safe haven for you, where you long to be at home. What about fathers? Look at verse 21. Fathers, you want to give Christ a place in your parenthood? You want to be protected as fathers? Then listen. Do not exasperate your children so that they will not lose heart. Exasperate's a big, humongous word. It's not a word we use every day. It literally means don't embitter them. It really goes after to say, are you shrewd with your comments toward them? Do we look to embarrass our children? He says, if you're going to do that, understand this. Your children are going to lose heart. They're going to give up on you as a father. They're not going to want to be with you. If we think our role as fathers is just to pick on and to embarrass, he says, you haven't given Christ a place in your parenthood. And you're as vulnerable as they come. And you're about to be stomped on by your own children. Because we weren't raised up with Jesus to give Him a place. But what happens when we show our children compassion? When they make the right moves, that we encourage them? That as parents we are forgiving and patient with our children, even when they fail. If we're parents that whenever they turn to do what's right, we offer them strength and hope. You've given Christ a place with you and your children. If you've been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above. Let Christ protect your marriage. Let Christ protect your family. And let Christ protect you. Because your life is hidden, protected in Jesus with God. And Christ, who is our life, will be revealed with Him. So the question I put before you today, have you been raised up with Christ? Do your words and your actions prove it? Do they show it? Do you let Christ guard your home and your marriage? Or have we left ourselves vulnerable to the foolishness of the earth and let them tell us what's wise? Let's look at ourselves. In times of difficulty in marriages and parenthood, do you seek the things above or do you seek the things of the earth?